Welcome to episode 14 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Today is January 1st, 2012, the day after New Year's Eve. I am Matthew Furlough, and this is my bro host, James Furlough.
Hello! Looking forward to some accurate predictions.
Accurate. Hopefully. This week, like every week...
Hopefully. Wait a second.
Well, I know mine are going to be accurate, but I haven't heard yours yet.
All right, fair enough.
This week, like every week, we'll be talking about the continuing corporate opera, specifically the future of it. That is the soap opera of corporations' dealings back and forth, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and the technology they're developing. And here's a short disclosure before we get into the show.
Oh yeah, that's right. I gotta give this still. So I work for Hewlett Packard, and it is important that you know that every single opinion that I make, as right as it may be, is not HP's. It is solely mine. And so I should always say, I think. And if I ever say we think, I meant to say I.
So a short question about the disclosure.
Sure.
Do you have any inside information on the future of Hewlett Packard? All right, not going to
answer
that
you care about.
Okay. That's important. So, these are going to be all totally, I don't want to say unfounded, but uninformed.
What? Are we talking about HP?
No, we're talking about just in general, our predictions.
So let me lay the groundwork. Today is our special predictions of 2012 episode. So, we're going to be talking a lot about, you know, we'll start it off with what happened throughout the year, and then we'll quickly jump into what's going to happen in the year. And so that's what this show is about.
Awesome. This is the first...
And so I think you were just trying to clarify this. Like, we don't have any insider information. We know just as much as everyone else. We're just using our keen powers of insight.
Yeah, because it's that much more impressive.
Gotcha.
If you know what's going to happen and you predict it, not really predicting it.
Though we know you eager listeners will be happy if that were the case anyways.
Exactly. So just really quickly, if you want to follow us in this year, 2012, you can go to Twitter and follow me at Matthew D. Furlough.
And I am at James Furlough.
And it looks like furloughbros.com will be up and running for another year, so you can continue to go there.
I paid it up.
And provided that Facebook and Google Plus and all these other companies survive this tumultuous, crazy year. you can find Furlough Bros on all those sites as well.
Sweet. So before we get to the predictions, like I said, let's take a look back and see what happened. And there was this nice article in TechCrunch that was just the year in tech. And it just kind of hit some of the top points. And I just real quickly would love to run through some of those with you and just kind of, you know, reminisce on them.
Mm-hmm.
So the very first one is not the happiest one, but basically the end of an era happened. Steve Jobs passed away this year. It was sad.
That seems to be an appropriate number one, and not just because it happened so late in the year, but I think it really... Apple has had such a huge impact on the industry over the last decade, and Steve Jobs has been such a big part of that. That I think, you know, yeah, it's a big deal, and I think that it's something, you know, something will have changed in 2011 because of it.
Yeah, definitely. You mean 2012 or 2011?
Yeah, something will have changed after 2011.
All right. True. Very true. The second thing that happened was Google went social with Google Plus again.
Right, wait. What was their first attempt? Was that Orkut or whatever?
Well, Yeah. Okay. And then there was Buzz.
Oh, that's right.
Remember Buzz? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So has Facebook collapsed under Google's enormous weight yet?
Not quite yet.
No. Okay.
But it hasn't failed out, I guess.
That's true. I don't think it's as depressing as... I was actually part of Orkut. I got on that bandwagon, yeah. I didn't have any friends.
You're that guy.
Nobody wanted to join. So, but yeah, Google...
That's because you don't live in Brazil, I guess.
Oh, really?
It's big in Brazil, or it used to be, at least.
Weird.
Yeah.
I do like Brazil.
I wouldn't mind visiting, but...
They'd know me. We'd be friends.
They'd know me. I'm big in Brazil. Nice. So the other thing that happened was the Kindle lit a fire with the Kindle Fire.
Whoa.
Love those puns.
Yeah. I have no numbers about that. That's not true, actually. I have a theory that fire is not necessarily isn't burning as bright as the media might have portrayed it. But that's just my opinion.
I don't know.
All right.
Amazon refuses to share any real numbers.
Well, they claim they've sold 4 million tablets, which...
They said that this last month, they sold over 1 million tablets per week. But that also included all their touches.
Right, I was going to say, included all their, you know, under $100 readers and whatnot. So that's, yeah, I don't actually think I don't think that number is as impressive as...
I don't know. I'm sure it's doing well.
Yeah. Anyways, it happened.
And I know in the startup space, I don't know how much you followed this, but like there was this new buzzword that was created, and it was pivot. Have you heard it much?
I actually haven't heard it much.
So a pivot, as you would suspect, is the idea of you keep one foot planted on the ground in the sense that like you keep your management team in place, but then you pivot in the sense that you change directions of the company. You might say, hey, we used to be doing podcasts. Now we're doing video publishing.
Whoa.
You know, you're like, we still got the same guys running the show, but it's different.
Right.
There were a few examples of that, and it just became the buzzword of the year in the startup world. Almost became a joke. Instead of saying, well, we scrapped the idea and we're trying something new, you know, we pivoted to...
I get a feeling with a lot of that corporate jargon that's sort of, you know, we need to synergize this meeting in order to leverage our
yeah, so we can escalate it to the
right
to the top, but we'll take it offline.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's one of those. Another one, which I'm pretty sure you'll talk about later, was Netflix.
Ooh.
They did not have the best of years.
You know,
their stock was at 300, and now it is at 70.
That's awful.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the only thing I can say about Netflix is that I still think they have a first-in-class product, which, you know.
Yeah.
That says a lot.
In the long run, they'll be okay. As long as they don't do stupid things. Yeah. But we'll see. Tech IPOs run a comeback this year. So I guess it had been like a few years since there had been any big IPOs. And so they had LinkedIn, Pandora, Groupon, Zynga were some of the big ones. Some of the weird parts about them now is that they were, except for Groupon, they were semi-mature companies. They'd already eked out a lot of value, had gotten a lot of private money ahead of time, which is actually the next item, which was the private $1 billion club got bigger. So this idea of companies used to go after billions of dollars publicly, you know, they go public, they'd raise $1 billion and, you know, go off and do something great. The current trend, and it was really big time in 2011, was that they would do it privately through VC funds and such like that. They wouldn't go public. And so those ones who did go public, there wasn't a huge pop like you saw with Google and others, because they'd already eked out a lot of the value from those private investors.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know, so it was things like, they talk about like Roe Price and Fidelity and DST. Normally they would wait for the IPO to invest and get involved.
Yeah.
But now they're not. Now they're doing their own VC-backed funding.
So my question would be, why, as a company, if you're getting billions of dollars and funding your private company, you don't have to disclose your books or anything. Why? Because generally speaking, as I understand it, when you IPO, that's about raising capital to do some big expansion. If you're already sitting on a pile of money and you're already a mature company, why are you IPOing?
Well, there's many reasons. But one big one is once you get over, it's something like 500 shareholders, you're required by law to go public. And so like Facebook's hitting that, which is why I'm pretty sure they're going to go in 2012.
Dude, wait a second. It's still 2011 in our predictions. Got to wait till the second half of the show before we start predicting.
Sorry. Well, so all that to say is, well, they talked about it earlier this year.
Okay.
They've already said they're going to.
Good point.
It's a question of when. But the reason that is pretty sure why is they're reaching that limit. Plus, it's a way for all those early employees to get their money out if they want to go buy the big house, to, you know, do whatever they want. Because it's really hard to do when you're private.
Right.
So that's why, a couple reasons why you would go public.
All right.
Even after you've taken all that money. Google bought Motorola.
Oh, yeah.
Microsoft bought Skype.
Oh, man.
HP did some stuff. Who was the big one that we bought recently? Why can I not remember their name for the life of me? Autonomy.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Palm, but that was last year.
Autonomy was the big one. Let's see, Electronic Arts bought PopCap. Let's see, everyone, you know, obviously Apple just bought Anabit. Google also bought AdMeld. There's a bunch of big ones. AT&T tried to buy T-Mobile. That didn't work out for them. There was just some big deals that happened this year. And I think a lot of them are still playing out, like Microsoft's and Google's buys. You know, we'll see.
Yeah.
The patent wars this year, Apple started shooting.
Yeah.
It was pretty crazy, and that's clearly not even kind of resolved yet. I read a good thing that was like, you know, Apple might consider doing the Microsoft route, which is licensing some of this technology. You know, actually let them use it, but then charge them a lot. And they said there's a couple things here that's really powerful about what Microsoft is doing. Number one, they get extra money for literally holding a patent.
Right.
You know, it's like $5 per Android device. So when they say Android has activated 700 units a month, 700,000 units a month, multiply that number times 5 and give it to Microsoft. You know, that's not a bad business to be in.
No, it's not.
The other thing is that it would give them potentially the ability to dictate how it gets used in the future. So they might say, you can use it for this, you can't use it for this. It actually opens up a dialogue and a conversation. Instead of just being mean and saying no, in which case you stand a chance of losing, if you say yes, but, you actually stand a chance of winning.
Yeah, and I have a suspicion that attitude of, we're gonna take it to Google, we're going to take this to the wall, we're going to stop Google, it was sort of an Apple, or it was sort of a Steve Jobs attitude. I have a suspicion that that one of the things that is going to change in Apple is their attitude towards working out deals with other companies, for the reasons that you just explained. You know, and a lot of smart people, and that really is the way that patent law has worked for the longest time. Patent law hasn't been necessarily about just stopping competitors forever. It's about working out deals where the innovator gets has incentive to continue to innovate. You know, and I don't think, you know, obviously Apple doesn't want to be stolen from, but I do think that they're going to be able to work something out where there's a huge incentive to use those. And then the nice part about it is that there are some UI stuff that Apple is doing with the iPhone that it's like the pinch and zoom. I think that's so fundamental to it. A multi-touch screen and how you use it, that, I don't know, it seems ridiculous that you would try to keep other people from using that. I can understand getting paid for it, but I feel like that's...
Well, and I think ultimately they'll lose that battle.
Right.
And the question is, will they be smart enough to, you know,
set it out of court, yeah.
But we'll see. So another one was, you know, along those same lines, Android and Apple won the mobile internet, as far as we can tell. You know, they're huge. Windows Phone is kind of there, kind of not. Palm is clearly not anymore. And RIM is struggling big time. And, you know, Nokia is doing something right now with Windows. You know, we'll see.
Yeah.
And then the last one I thought that was cool is we started to see social media fueling social protests. You know, so whether it's on Wall Street or other nations, you know, they've really been... Twitter and Facebook have become more prominent in those movements. Pretty cool.
No, definitely. I mean, that's part of the power of the social, of a network. And then when you bring in the amplifier of a massive computer system to, you know, automate that network, you get some really, really powerful leverage going on.
Yeah. Cool stuff.
Yeah, very cool. Awesome. 2011. So that was the mostly good things of 2011. And I'm here to talk about the flip side. So this article is coming to you from CNN Tech. And this is the top 10 tech fails of 2011. And I love number one. I couldn't agree more. So Congressman Wiener was this year. And Twitter basically ruined him.
Wow.
Well, yeah, I mean, he made some poor decisions, but once again, we've got, you know, a computer system. For those of you that don't remember, Wiener took some compromising, let me rephrase that.
inappropriate.
Yeah, he took some inappropriate photos of himself. He shared them on Twitter, so all of his followers saw them. He tried to blame it on hackers, and then eventually came out and said, nah, that was just me doing that. And eventually stepped down as a congressman over it. So one of those high-tech lynchings that came out. Another governmental one. This was really, really late. GoDaddy's SOPA misstep. we actually didn't cover this one too much. But
because we're afraid of politics, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. But nevertheless, GoDaddy, which is...
domain and host site.
Thank you. Domain and host site. They lost a ton of clients because they supported a bill that was really, you know, a lot of their clients disagreed with fundamentally. And so you know, they really became the target because it's a major business partner, unlike video game companies or media companies who, you know, we don't rely on them. We're not necessarily business partners with them. There's just enough separation that we can complain about them supporting it. But if you're looking for somebody to make a point out of, GoDaddy was the go-to one.
Well, it doesn't help that their commercials are not the most awesome commercials ever.
Right. They just seem
so they
sleazy.
Already yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I, you know, get what you deserve on that one. I use them to host. Duke Nukem Forever was released this year, sort of. And the irony of the title of Duke Nukem Forever, it was 14 years in development. It was first announced in 1997.
Was it really being developed that entire time, or did they just keep delaying it?
It was actually for like a 6-year period. It was under serious development, and the lead director kept changing. He kept pivoting every couple months and trying to have the biggest and best technology involved, and never just finished it. It ended up just never coming around. So finally, they had this big chunk of code that was already finished. So when they finally sold it off, it took like 3 months for the next game developer to actually package it and ship it. So we don't have to wait forever for Duke Nukem Forever. So the next tech fail is basically the also-rans in the tablet market. So you got the iPad, and it's clearly successful. Kindle Fire gets a lot of press for being successful, but pretty much everybody else has had really, really, really disappointing sales in the tablet market.
Which is crazy, just how many there were at CES
right
a year ago. And I bet there'll be a ton in 10 days, too.
Yeah, exactly. And it just, it's clear that something needs to change to make it all work, and people are trying to figure out what that is, and a lot of people believe it's just pure price point, but this was not a good year if you were in the tablet department of a major company. And then also this year, it's middle of the year-ish, PlayStation had a bit of a hiccup when they got hacked. And roughly 70 million users lost access to their gaming entertainment network. And it was because tons of information got found, and they basically pulled the plug on it for almost literally to keep what little data was still secure. And then they brought it back online, and they said it's secure now, and the group that had hacked them originally, just to prove a point, said, no, it's not, and nice. Went in and got more data. And so they shut it down again. And so they've been, it's been pretty good for a couple of months, but there's still a lot of concerns, and they had a lot of security, just fundamentally simple security things, like they kept passwords in plain text, so you didn't have to do anything to decode them, which means all of those passwords, if it was the same password you used for, like, your bank, they now had that actual password instead of an encrypted version, which would only work for that particular network. Right. So, that was a big mess up. So the next one, thank you. So iPhone and bars don't mix. So yeah, they lost the iPhone 4 prototype last year, and that was a big deal. So surely with the 4S, iPhone 5, that wouldn't happen again. And another one was lost. So that wasn't as big of a deal, just because I think it was, news-wise, just because it was like, you know, whatever. And I think the fact that people were expecting the iPhone 5, when they found the 4S, they were kind of like, well, it's got to be just a trial prototype. They wouldn't go into major production with this. So I don't think it got the same sort of news.
No, not even close.
But it happened. Netflix didn't do anything wrong except double the price of their service without adding any more value.
They were going to add value. They were going to create Quickster.
That's right.
So you had to visit two websites to manage all your stuff.
Yeah, I think it's called taking away value.
They added a website.
That's
they
right.
Added value.
Oh, and how long did that one last? 3 days?
Yeah.
Quickster, yeah, it came to a quick collapse, and that was going to be your DVD by mail, and Netflix was going to stick with the streaming. And you know, we hadn't started the podcast by this point, but I think there were some things that Netflix did really wrong here. I don't think in principle what they did was unwise, but I just think they played it really poorly. PayPal accidentally prevented donations going to being donated to a charity.
Nice.
They didn't realize what they were doing, and their automated machines kind of took over to prevent money from going to these nonprofits, and they cleaned it up, but not before taking a bunch of bad press about it. So the iPhone 4S battery life, there were like four people that had awful battery life that they fixed in the first update, but CNN thinks that that's
a big deal.
Big
huh?
deal, yeah.
Yeah. Not me, by the way. My phone's been fine.
I haven't actually met anybody that had the problem, so it was pretty isolated. But they referenced the attenuation problem that happened on the iPhone 4, and you know, so they're doing a full recall the year before to talk about fails.
Got it.
And then the number one tech fail this year and I bet you can guess, but it's basically BlackBerry.
Yeah, all of it. They did not have an excellent year at all.
No. They between server crashes, the absolute failure that was the BlackBerry playbook, losing massive chunks of their market, their stock price going crazy, just falling like a rock. Not been a good year for BlackBerry, so that's been pretty ugly, and I feel bad for the guys a little bit, but I enjoy watching it. So that was your major tech failures in 2011.
Nice. So. P.S. If you hear any screaming in the background, that is because Harry Potter is playing in the other room. And so this episode is sponsored by Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Thank you, Harry.
So Warner Bros., if you'd like, you can pay for soundproofing Nana Studio. And we can have really high quality movies or video or audio, or we can continue to have screaming from Harry Potter. It's up to you guys. Cool. So that was 2011.
All right, let's talk about 2012.
Pretty exciting. You want to get started?
So iPad. That's the next one.
My prediction for 2012. They're going to stop producing them.
Stop producing iPads? Yeah. Just done?
Just done.
We won, we're going home now.
Exactly.
Game over.
We've made as many orders as we're going to make. We're happy. No, I don't think that's what's going to happen. What do you think, James?
So, I've read lots of stuff about the iPad. And, one of the most recent ones, which was crazy, was they're going to come out with a 7.8-inch screen at iWorld.
Yeah.
So January 26th, and it's like, A, Apple has officially said they're never going to join in that. B, there's no floor space dedicated to Apple. C, there's no time slotted for them to make an announcement. And D, that just is crazy. So, given all that, I don't think they'll be coming out with a smaller screen. That doesn't make any sense to me. I'm still very much in the camp of what they're probably going to do is they're going to have a next generation device, whatever that is, and then they're just going to drop the price of the iPad too.
Right.
I don't know if it's going to be $150, $200, $100. I don't know, honestly.
Oh man.
It could be. Well, I mean, it's a $500 device, and if you think about them dropping.
Oh, I thought you were saying the total price was going to be $100, $150.
Oh no, $200. No, if they're going to drop it by that much.
Okay, cool.
Because I keep thinking you start out with the base of a $200 iPhone. And then they drop it half the price, 50%, but it's also $100. So, as far as I'm concerned, they could drop the price of the iPad $100 all the way down to $250, half the price.
Right.
I don't think they will. I don't think they need to. I think they could do it by $150, and that would be pretty darn compelling.
Bring it down to $350?
Yeah.
So, interesting. So, okay, so we're this is officially the future of iPad 2.
Yeah.
So I agree. I don't think they're going to stop manufacturing them. I think rumors of a slowdown are just that. They're slowing down because I don't think they're going to sell as many. I think that they're going to get rid of... I do think that they're going to stop making all six different versions.
Yeah, totally.
I think they'll probably make two versions. Wi-Fi only 16 gigs and for the extra $120, they'll make the cellular... 16 gig. So okay. I have two versions.
I can see that.
My two price points, I'm predicting, I think they're going to do 300. I think they should do 250. And here's my reason. 350, I still think there's a lot of people who won't just go out and get it. At 300, I think there's a lot of people who will go out and get it. But I think at 250, people will stop buying $200 and the between 100 and 100 or between 100 and $200 tablets, competitor tablets, they'll stop buying those and just save up to the 250. I think 250 is the upper range for low-end priced tablets. Now,
do they need to get there right now? Because I could definitely see them lowering it this year and then doing exactly like they did with the iPhone. And then they've got another one which is just super cheap. Because I don't think they're, you know, for all intents and purposes, there still is no competition.
That's true.
You know, and I could see them, they lower it down a little bit, and they're going to wipe out a whole bunch of people, you know, or they're going to clean up a whole bunch of people there. Kindle's still going to do its thing. It's never going away. You're still going to have the Nook, and you're still going to have the Android tablets trying it, and they're going to genuinely get better. But I think they're going to wait until there's a legitimate competitor, which is going to come from Android. It's not going to come from Amazon. And, you know, and then you might see, then you might see them drop their price. Of course, you know, there's also that argument that, you know, with the iPods, they had the Classic, and then the Nano, and then the Pequeño, or no, the Shuffle. you know, and so, you know, they kept taking away features for people to hit those lower price points. Could they do something where they take away features with a tablet and, you know, still have those price points? Or will they just take the iPod Touch and make that $200?
You know, I actually think that I have
make how about this? How about a 4-inch iPod Touch for $200?
A 4-inch iPod Touch?
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's pretty compelling. So the iPod Touch starts, its base price right now, the 16 gig, is
$200.
It's $200.
Okay.
And just for the record, and the 8 gig. So the 32 is $300 and the 64 is $400. So it's I think that is what they're going to do. I don't know. So I don't want to get too much into the iPod Touch yet, because this has to do with the iPhone 5, since those are fair sister enough. Products.
Yeah.
But so let's wrap up the iPad. But I think that there is going to be a relationship there. I think that, like you said, with the Shuffle, the Nano, and the Classic, there's a continuum, and there's definitely. As you take away features, you lower price points, and there's kind of a blurred line. There's something of a fire gap from one to the next, price-wise. But ultimately, yeah, there's definitely a continuum. So, iPad 2, staying around. You're saying $150 discount. I'm saying $200. When I say that out loud, I'm actually a little bit nervous that you're going to be right. But I'm sticking with my prediction, so $300 for the total price. All right, so next-gen iPad. First, what's its name?
I don't know. So, we could be either a 3 or a 2S or a 2G or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, they have the iPad. What do they call it? It's an iPad 2 with 3G. Is that how they word that? Or
right.
How is that?
Well, they have the Wi-Fi only, and then this. I guess I call it the cellular, but the
cellular.
Yeah.
Here, I'm gonna, since I'm live with you, I'm gonna click on your iPad link for you, just to see what they call it. It doesn't have the cool little. Okay, we gotta go to the store. All right, so because I want to see is what it is named as. iPad DOS from $499. Select an iPad. All right, this is it. Oh gosh.
So yeah, it just says black and white, and then you choose a model.
Okay, so it's Wi-Fi plus 3G.
Right.
And they've set it up so I don't know. Like, that would just be weird to say. Oh, it's an iPad 3 plus 3G. No, that's not weird, I guess.
Yeah.
It would be weird to say it's an iPad 2S plus 3G. Now I feel like I'm doing algebra.
I can see why you would be why you would shy away from that. So I think
it all depends, like, are they gonna drastically change the body?
Yeah.
Or not?
I guess that's the point I was getting to, is that the difference between when they go a full number rev versus adding an S, it's always due to, it has to do with the body, the design. So It's like the 3G and 3GS have the same body. The 4 and the 4S have the same body. So with so I guess what I'm thinking is I think they have to change the body. I think it's going to get thicker again.
Interesting. Okay.
And I think it's because they're going to put a bigger battery in, and so now we're getting the full blown predictions. I think that they're going to put
It going to have?
A Retina display.
Retina display. And I read recently that they're goofing off with a new type of display technology.
Yeah. And I'm suspicious that whatever that display is, that the brightness required to, you know, because one of the differences between the iPhone and the Retina, the iPhone 3GS display and the Retina display, was brightness and contrast. And that requires a lot more energy in order to have that extra brightness. And so I think they're going to have to do something with the LEDs, either putting bigger LEDs, more LEDs, whatever. And they're going to have bigger battery in order to support that brighter screen.
Yeah, and it says here on DigiTimes that they're going to do IGZO instead of IPS acronyms, as far as I can tell. And what's nice about them is that they allow for them to do HD displays but without the bulk, because they don't have to have the multiple layered panels. It's just like one thing. I don't know what that means. But the big idea is you get improved resolutions, it costs less, and it uses less energy. You're kind of like, sweet. That's the best of all worlds.
So what's the problem? I feel like, is this
they just haven't done it yet? That's okay. The problem.
That's, you know, I was going to say, it's, and that one to
it's probably
me,
really hard to manufacture.
I was going to say, that to me is going to come down to yield rates, whether or not they go with that design. That's what it's going to come down to, is if they can have a high enough yield rate in production, which will keep the production cost down, then they'll go with it if it's really that good of a deal. Otherwise, they're going to scrap it, and they're going to just go with the technology that they know they can produce. And so, yeah, I think it's going to be thicker. I also think it's going to have the A6 processor. So we're going to keep revving up.
Is that quad-core, dual-core?
I think it's going to be quad-core, but I think it's going to have the crazy hyper-threading tech similar to what Intel's i7 has. So the i7 simulates 8 cores but only has 4. I think you're going to try to do something like that too, where it's going to be it's going to be dual-core, but it simulates quad-core. And then I think they'll have a
gigabyte. I didn't know that's possible. So cool.
Yeah. It's pretty intuitive.
Giga RAM. Good. About time. Yeah.
I think that's an important addition, and I think that's going to come. And I don't think they're going to change capacity for hard drives.
They seem to be doing all right.
Yeah, that's why. I don't think it's needed. I don't need one. I don't know anybody else who needs a 128 gigabyte hard drive on their iPad.
Yeah, You think they'll stick with the metal back? I've heard like carbon fiber before, and I always thought that was interesting. I don't know if they'll ever do it, because that sounds significantly harder to make, since they're kind of, you know, heavily invested in metal
aluminum,
right now.
Yeah,
aluminum.
I don't know. There's a big perk with going away from aluminum. Aluminum it creates a chamber that wireless signals can't get out of, which is why the Apple logo on the iPad 2 is plastic. That's where the wire, or where the antenna is embedded.
For Wi-Fi.
For both.
No. For the, so you have to look at this. Look at the 3Gs. There's a plastic panel up at the top.
Oh, is there? Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Big plastic panel.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm sure drove Jobs nuts.
Yeah.
Which will lead to the iPhone 5 rumors.
Right.
How they deal with that.
So I believe that what you're going to get is, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw a different back, but I, you know, like we said, we're kind of hinting at what we think is going on down the alleyway for iPhone 5, but I think they're going to keep that one in their back pocket till later this year for carbon fiber.
Think the home button will do anything special, or do you think it'll be the same, or do you think it'll even exist?
I think it'll exist. I find it pretty useful. But I'm just using the multi-touch features 4-finger, 3-finger swipes and whatnot on the iPad 2 with iOS 5. It's going to be less useful.
Well, what's nice about it, what I found, is you can do the hard restart, and you can also take screenshots, and you know, it is useful when, you know, apps freeze, because it does happen.
Right.
But all right. Let's see, anything else that's really important? Any, like, software, new software stuff that they're going to have?
So this is going to be a good segue, because this is going to be iOS 6.
Well, yeah, maybe. I think iOS 6 will come out with the iPhone.
But I mean, yeah. So I think Siri. I think Siri will come to Wi-Fi iPads for sure. I think if they're going to put Siri onto Wi-Fi only devices,
3G only. I don't understand.
Siri will come to 3G tablets.
Okay,
for sure. If they're going to bring Siri to all Wi-Fi enabled devices that are on iOS 5, that's going to happen at that point as well.
I agree.
So,
and I think it'll be across the board.
Yeah,
you just need to be connected to a network port to work.
I agree. I think that's going to be the big change. Other than that, you know, little UI stuff, but I don't think you're going to get any major API updates or whatever.
I would love to see FaceTime work on a 3G network. That would be amazing.
I still think that that's a limitation. They might enable it like they enabled tethering on the iPhone back in the day, where it's like, we're enabling tethering, and everybody cheered, and they said, now you just have to get a carrier that lets you do it, and everybody booed. You know, I could see them do it, but I you're not going to get it in America, unfortunately.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah, I don't really know what else they could add. I'm sure that they, of course, have thought of thousands of APIs like they always announce.
Yeah.
And they'll give developers a couple hundred, I'm sure,
yeah,
with the iPad. But it'll be iOS 6 that'll have, you know, new and amazing things.
Yeah, and I think the selling feature is going to be a Retina display.
Yeah.
You know, just super, super high resolution. It's going to have more pixels than my 15-inch monitor.
It's going to be pretty crazy. I mean, it'll be great for games, videos, you know.
Yeah.
I think they'll do a Retina display on their IMAX? No, not IMAX.
Their Airs?
Not even their Airs, just their MacBook Pros.
You know, I think...
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Boom, I just said that.
You're saying,
and they're going to use whatever this new technology is.
I can say, it depends. If they get this new technology working and it's, you know, then yes. If not, I'm going to say no. So I'm going to give it
I'm
going to say it's a conditional no, because I don't think that they're going to get the new technology working.
So let me make sure I'm understanding you correctly. If they come out with a Retina display iPad, they're going to come out with a Retina display MacBook?
No. They're going to come out with a Retina display iPad 3.
Okay.
It will either have the traditional Retina,
the IPS,
the IPS, doing it. Or it'll have the newer technology. If it has the newer technology, they'll do it on the MacBooks. If it has the older technology, they won't do it on the MacBooks.
Okay, I'm saying yes no matter what.
Okay.
Because they may not have it figured out by March, but they will later on in the year.
And furthermore, I don't think that the iPad's going to come with the new technology. I think you're going to get... I think Apple likes to play it safe on that sort of a thing, and so I'm predicting no to the new technology on the iPad 3 and no to the Retina display on the MacBooks.
Wow. Okay.
I'm getting crazy here.
Yeah, I'm much more positive than you are. Okay. All right. That's the iPad. iPhone.
All right. I think the iPhone 5. Is
I think it's going to be the 4SG.
The 4SG. Oh, jeez.
Or the 4GS, maybe?
Yeah.
Why don't we just go 4G? Why do we got to go to the 5?
You know, we don't need to.
I mean, we're counting pretty fast here.
I bet they go to the iPhone. First off, I bet they call it the iPhone 6.
No. No, it'll probably call it the 5.
You think they'll call it the 5?
Yeah, I do. Totally do.
Okay. So, they'll call it the 5. Probably call it the 5. You're right. So, they'll call it the 5. I I don't even know what to think.
So the latest rumor is it will go back to the metal back that they've had recent, that they've kind of had like in the first gen, but then it will still have the bands around the edge of it, and yeah. Then that will actually be covered with a rubber band case type of thing to protect the iPhone and the antenna. So you don't have to get a case because it's already got the bumper built in, and they can have the metal back because the antenna is still on the edge.
Interesting.
That's the latest rumor on how they're going to handle that. Though, I'll be honest, I like the look of the iPhone. So I would be kind of... I'm sure it will still look awesome, you know, if I'm not bad at it.
So this is my thought. I personally believe that it's done. Whatever design it is, it is already settled. Unless they find some major, major flaw in that design.
Yeah, they still might be tweaking it, but...
But I think... And I do have a tiny bit of insider knowledge on this that I had a nice conversation with a former Apple employee who shall not be named, who was a tester of devices, and he left to go work for a startup a week before he got his hands on the iPhone 5. And this was before, no, this was like 3 days after the 4S was released. And that I met with him, and he had already been working in the company for 2 months.
Huh.
So they've had the iPhone 5 in
for
major
testing.
For major testing.
I'm not surprised.
For a long time, and I think that it had already gotten through the Steve Jobs thumbs up, thumbs down. It had gotten through all the major design, antenna design stuff. So
I know that for HP making printers, we get at least 3 years ahead.
Right.
And we know what all the major features are and basically what it's going to look like 3 years before, 3 years out.
Hmm. Well.
So, I'm not surprised, I guess.
Yeah. So, I actually do think they're going to go with the teardrop. As crazy as that sounds.
Okay. All right.
So,
what size screen do you think it's going to have?
Oh, man. These are the tough ones. So, I'm going to say I don't think it's going to have 4G just because they've been having so many problems. I can't imagine that Apple figured out the whole, unless Apple introduces a radical new battery that can have enough energy packed into it to operate the antenna, a 4G antenna, I don't think they're going to include it. And
it does seem a little premature, and then, I mean, but you got to remember, like, they're going to release this sucker in October again. They're not going to do it in the middle of the year. They're going to announce the new iOS in the summer, and then come out with a new phone in October. So they still have 10 months to, you know, to decide whether or not that's a go or not. And I think if they wait until next year, it will be long overdue. But, you know, I mean, they came out with the Edge phone on the original iPhone when everyone was like, you need to have a 3G phone.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they were willing to wait a year on that. And everyone, it sounds like everyone I'm talking to or listening to or reading says, hey, yeah, this is the year. They're waiting it out. And I'm kind of like, I bet they could wait another year and it would be okay.
Yeah, because every review I've read of a major 4G phone, especially a big screen for it, it's like I read a review of it was the Nexus, the latest Nexus
Prime.
Yeah, the Prime. It was 4 inches, had 4G.
Dude, it's not 4 inches. That's like 4.8 inches.
Right. It's
huge. 4.6.
It's a huge screen and it's a big battery. And so they were to stream HD movies through Netflix, and they only got through half the movie because the battery ran out. So it's just one of the, now granted, a big screen draws a lot of power, but the 4G is a huge problem with that. And that antenna is terrible for energy management. And so I have a suspicion that they're not going to go that route. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they were going to go to the 4-inch screen, though.
Really?
Yeah. Keep the same pixel density, but increase the screen size.
Interesting.
I don't know. I mean, it's not a bad screen size. But maybe.
I think that there's a lot of people who want the 4-inch. I agree. I keep going back and forth with it because I have a feeling that every generation they make two different versions of the phone, one that's 3.5 and one that's 4. And every time they come down, it comes down to the wire. We're going to do the 4, we're going to do the 3.5. And it just depends on the size of the thumb.
You know? Well, and the problem that you run into getting a different size screen is the ecosystem. That's a huge ripple you're adding to it.
Right. Well, that's why I said it'll have the same pixel density because...
Yeah, but even then all your buttons grow. And that's not necessarily what you want. That's not why you want a bigger screen. You don't want it for bigger buttons.
That's a good point.
So it's complicated.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think they're going to keep it at 3.5.
All right.
They might introduce another device altogether. And that's where I bring in the whole iPod Touch. I could see them moving that up. You still run into the same issues.
I think they're more willing to take that issue on with the iPod Touch. I do agree. I could see them... That would actually make a lot of sense to me. Do a 4.5-inch iPod. Give people... Because they never expected it to be a gaming device, quote-unquote. And I do think that, you know, you could have games for... I don't know. But the whole problem there is then, like you said, you start to fracture the ecosystem. That's part of the fun, is that games that work well on the iPhone work well on the iPod.
Of course, I mean, look at the Android ecosystem, and yeah, sure, developers whine a whole bunch, and it's tough for consumers to choose, and, you know, there's a whole bunch of issues with them, but they're also being successful. You can't argue with that.
Yeah, that's true.
Clearly, it's working for them.
Yeah.
And so there are customers out there who want the bigger screens, and there's an opportunity there. They just have to come up with the right reason why all of a sudden it was good, where earlier it was bad. they're good at that wording stuff.
Yeah. Well, all they say is, except the way we did it is better.
Right, yeah. You want to cut and paste, we gave it to you. Better than anybody else.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
We disagree with multitasking the way they were doing it. You know, and they do legitimately come up with different solutions, so I don't think that that's completely invalid, but they do spin it a bit. Okay, so...
Apple TV. Now, I'll be totally honest. I don't own a television. I don't want to own a television. So Apple could do whatever they want here, and I would be okay with it. But given that, what do you think is going to happen?
So I have a different enthusiasm for it. Not because I have a TV or because I watch a lot of TV, but because I think that you're watching an industry change, and that excites me.
Right.
I actually think that what's occurring... So this is going to take a little bit of backstory. There is... New York Times wrote an article this week about the new rules of... what's the word? The new rules of TV. And they basically went into the idea that bringing the internet to the TV changes how networks work. It's like... For the first time, you know, networks used to think of themselves as a completely different product from, like, Time magazine. Warner Bros. Never competed with Time. You put both of those things onto an iPad, and Time starts to create some videos to go with their text, and all of a sudden they're competing as a news source.
Right.
So that definitely, you know, the whole idea of the lock on your box... your wall size screen is I personally think that's going to come to an end. And I think what Apple's going to do, number one, I think it's going to be an elegant solution. There's not going to be very many wires. Two, maybe three, maybe none. I'm hoping for none. I don't think that's what's going to happen because that would require wireless power. And even though the technology is patented and working, I don't think they're going to stress themselves out by including that into right. the design. But they should. That being said, I think what they're going to do is they're going to try to turn your TV, they're going to try to make it stop being a TV, and they're going to try to make it into a window on your wall. It's going to be a big screen. And okay. so they're going to have to mess with your user interface again, like they did with the tablet in your hand. And the reason why I say all this is because a lot of people thought the iPad wasn't going to do well. And I argued vehemently against the idea that it wouldn't be successful because
I you argued for its success.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, double negative there. And the reason for it is because I think when you introduce, you know, as a creative force, you know, you have this, you know, like when you make music that's going to fill the where you're playing it. If you're in a big hall, you play different music than if you're in a small room or in a, you know, intimate venue. And creativity has oftentimes been changed just by changing where you do it, where you perform. And so I think, you know, you can think of creativity and applications the same way. And so I think by the iPad changed what you could do because it changed where you could do it. And just from in your hand, not just bringing it everywhere with you. I think you can do the same thing with TVs. I say all this to say, I think Apple TV is going to be this. It's going to look great. It's going to be well designed. It's going to have only a few wires. It's going to be simple. It's going to have Siri. It's going to have those things. But what's going to happen to the TV market in large is your TV is going to stop being a TV. It's going to stop being television. It's going to start being the internet vision. It's going to be...
You think it'll be like the Xbox, where you got a set of menus, which are basically a set of apps that then open up to other media content creation, consumption, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, and I think you're going to see that throughout the entire industry. Your TVs, the whole idea of a smart TV is going to take off this year, and that's you're really going to start to see a change in what TVs are and how they work. They're going to become, I have a feeling that they're going to become that's how they're going to take on, quote unquote, the networks, is they're going to change what it is, and the networks are going to have to adapt or die, and a lot of them aren't going to adapt, and the ones that do are going to be huge successes financially. And I think that's what's coming.
And you think they'll actually make a big piece of glass, or will it just be a box that connects to a television already existing?
I think they're going to make a big piece of glass.
I still don't see why, but I don't know.
I think he's going to be retina display, too. No, probably not.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Either way, I'll be sitting on the sidelines on that one.
Yeah. I think you'll... Okay, this is one thing I think that'll happen that you won't... That will be... subtle and won't be announced, but you'll be, or it might be announced, but you'll be able to read text clearly from a long distance away. That's going to be a big emphasis in it.
Okay, I can see that. I also think it'll be ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Apple.
Well, I mean, that's not fair. I mean, is the iPad ridiculously expensive? Okay, it's good point. More expensive, but it's not ridiculous.
You're right, okay.
But I think this will be ridiculous.
Yeah, it's sort of like the Cinema display. Where it's kind of out of the ballpark expensive.
Yeah.
But it's, you know. But it's beautiful.
Android.
All right. So this one's... I think they're gonna continue down... I think they're going to stay steady. Don't think they're going to get too crazy with new features. I think they're going to include whatever Michelle ends up being. They're going to have a big announcement about a voice... You know, a voice apprentice.
When does Google I.O. take place? I can't remember.
Soon, I think. I think it takes place in the first
part of the year?
Yeah, I believe.
All right. I don't remember.
Yeah, me neither. I think that... But I don't think you're going to see any crazy new features. Let me rephrase it. I think you're going to see a bunch of new features. And you're going to see a continued march in making... He's, you know, cleaning up the UI and making it better. But I think the big thing that Android is going to push forward is the Nexus Android tablet. I think that's going to be their big thing this year.
Yeah,
I agree. They're going to put all of their emphasis behind.
They need to, and they can do it.
Yep. I think it's going to be an awesome product. Actually, I'm actually excited to see the Nexus tablet. I don't think it would convince me to buy it, but just because of the ecosystem I'm invested in. But
well, I have trouble justifying the purchase of an iPad.
Right.
So
that's another great point.
I can't have the same problem with this. But no, it'll be very cool, I think.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a slick little device. So what about you?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to talk specific hardware just because I think there's there's a lot of it out there, lot of choice. Will there be any consolidation and consistency? Probably not. They're just going to continue down the same path. It'd be cool to see Google take advantage of owning Motorola.
Yeah.
Or at least more overtly doing it. Though I wouldn't be surprised if they literally just took all their patents and then spun them off again and said, good luck, we'll let you lease our patents.
Right.
Have fun. They could do that, I suppose.
I don't think so. I think you'll see more and more collaboration between the teams,
which would be cool.
Yeah,
I think I think obviously other manufacturers, they'll probably struggle with that, but they're doing okay right now. There's no reason for them to get too concerned.
Right. Oh yeah, my example I'm going to bring up is Google had Google Video and YouTube going. They had two teams that were doing the exact same product. The whole idea was come up with your best product, and then whoever wins, and you'll just absorb the other team and all of their awesome technology. I actually think that's exactly what they're doing with Motorola and Nexus right now. And whoever has the best at the end of the long run, whoever has the best brand, whoever has whatever, that's going to be the one that gets to keep their brand, and then they're going to absorb the other team and all their technology.
Right. I think they're going to keep pressing the NFC technology and the wallet. I was reading it was the Google at home, the little at circle sign.
Yeah.
Is the one where their devices can connect to other everyday appliances like lights and stuff.
Cool.
So it'd be cool to see them actually make some progress down that path. They've unfortunately gotten into the bad habit of announcing things like Google I/O that get you really excited because they're exciting but not delivering on them.
Yeah. Quite which yet. Is a bad habit.
So yeah, which I don't know. They'll have a new CEO, so it might go a little bit different now.
Yeah. What do you think about third-party manufacturers? Do you think that they're going to keep on keeping on with Google, or do you think...
Oh, yeah, totally. Okay. There's no reason for them to change.
Right.
I mean, Microsoft has yet to prove themselves.
I think you're going to...
They're probably experimenting.
Like you say, I think you're going to see more dabbling with Microsoft. So that they're, if they need to make a major pivot at some point, they'll be able to just because they'll have some sort of a base there already. But I think that for the most part, they're gonna just most meant third parties are gonna keep on with it.
Yeah, definitely.
Don't rock the boat.
Yeah. So, also, speaking of Google, I read an interesting article that was talking about Google Plus, and it was saying, for Google Plus, user count is the journey, not the destination. And it was very interesting the way that they made the argument. It was saying that for Google, on Google Plus, they don't necessarily need a ton of interaction. They just literally need people to sign up. Because as people sign up and get involved and say, yeah, this is my Google profile, now all of a sudden they're putting together an identity for all of their users. So even if they never use Google Plus and it's just this side component, just like there's people out there who never use Google Docs, people out there who never use Google Chat or some of their other products, they go, that's okay. You're still part of our system. We still now have a profile that we can use for you in other places. And I think that Google is going to try to become people's online identity. That's where they're going to try to beat Facebook. And so they literally, which that sounds crazy, do not care if you never use Google+. As long as you tell them what your name is and put up a picture,
You know, and it's funny. I don't use Google Plus as much as I'd like to, just because they're not as automated as Facebook and Twitter yet. But they're working on it clearly. But I think, I do see parts of Google Plus that started there that I manage there, specifically circles that are coming up in my contacts, that are coming up in my Google, my Gmail, that are coming up in my Google Docs, and I actually kind of like that. Whereas like the whole groups, circle things that they're doing on Facebook is like, I don't see any use in that outside of, okay, I'm just, you know, I'm not going to bother with that because that seems complicated, guys. But ironically, whereas with Facebook, I actually, you know, it's like the whole idea, with Google, like with Gmail, I actually see value in that. And in my context, especially in my contacts, because I like to sort my contacts anyways. And so if all of a sudden my contacts are connected to a Google Plus account and my circles become my sorting system, all of a sudden I've circled everybody, and that applies to mail, that applies to, you know, all these other services. I can see why that would be, that would make me more willing to use a lot more of their products because of that, and that doesn't require me to ever go to Google Plus, my Google Plus page.
Yeah, but it'll be interesting. They'll continue to do that, you know, integration and coming up with new ideas.
I agree. So this is always kind of hard to predict because they usually just like to plop them on people. But I think you're going to come out with do you think they're going to come out with any new services? And if so, do you have any clue what you might guess it would be?
No, I do not have a clue. The way that they work is some random engineer says, this is a need, and they start down the project, and then they share it with somebody else, and they go, hey, this is pretty cool, let's keep it going. I think that we're going to continue to see them shuttering and combining things.
Yeah.
You know, like Google Sites, I'm kind of in shock that still exists. I didn't think that was that important.
yeah.
But it's still around, I guess. So, you know, so I think we'll still see consolidation in some places where we never even notice, right? Because it's just, you know, what it is. But no, I don't really know. But, I mean, their music and video, they're doing that already. Those are the obvious ones. They're working on their television. They got their mobile phones. Working on cars still.
Yeah.
Which I guess is still pretty exciting inside of Google itself.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting to me too.
Yeah. So I think it's exciting, but I think cars are just a slower technology.
By the way, I was talking with a friend about that, and he didn't. He had talked to someone else who said the thing about automated driving cars. I mean, there's stuff that we talked about where I told him, I was like, you know, I think it would be awesome if, because we live, you know, 600 miles away, it's a 10-hour drive, you go Friday night, we go to sleep in the car, Saturday morning we wake up and we're sitting in the driveway.
Yeah.
Then we go hang out, and then you know, Sunday night, sleep in the car again, and then we're home ready for work. You know, that could be pretty interesting. And he was like, but you take it to the next level where, don't think about it at the consumer level. Think about trucking. You can now have 24-hour trucking. You can say, hey, I'm sending you these goods. They'll be there in the morning. And it literally just has to stop for fuel unless we, you know, magically solve that issue at the same time. Did I just blow your mind right there?
You guys can't see what I did the equivalent of a visual spit take when he said that. Because I hadn't even considered that. But yeah, why couldn't you do that? Why, even if all you did was allow the trucker to drive dirt, even if all you did was take over the long haul part of it, so all he did was take over pulling into the store, pulling in and getting gas.
Right.
He was sitting in the car, but he could sleep and relax and rest while on the highway, and the truck did everything for him. And he could just live in his truck and go for 24 hours straight and not worry about exhaustion at all. Holy cow.
All right.
So, okay.
I can blow your mind one more time if you'd like.
You could also reduce the number of cars on the road.
Right.
Because you do like a Zipcar thing where, hey, there's a car near me, drive me to wherever, and it drops me off. Or you could have one car within the family and say, drive me to work, go home, pick up Johnny, take him to school, go home, take Sally to ballet, then come get me at work, and you could just share and ping pong this one car. You can use cars more efficiently and actually reduce the number of vehicles in driveways, on the road, in the world, in general.
I'm still stuck on that. I'm still processing the truck. Oh my gosh. This is, because I mean, you are singing my song right now. Automation is what I love and what I care about, and you know, and why that makes it sound a little more passionate than I probably want it to sound, even though it's true. oh my gosh. Okay, I'm not going to think about this on air because we're not even going to get to the rest of these tech companies. But we're coming back to this one. Stay tuned, because that is a good idea. And that, I mean, and that is just scratching the tip of the, you know, the iceberg on, touching the tip of the iceberg on, yeah, I didn't even think about it in that context. That totally changes, oh man, see, that is changing the venue where you play your music. That changes things. That's the sort of thing where, that's a new technology that isn't in and of itself an end product. That is a new tool that changes what you can do. That's huge. And I didn't even think about it like that. I thought of it as like this fun project. And what's cool, what's crazy about it is that it's not one of those things that Google is working on in labs. Google has cars driving around the country doing this. Like, it's working. It's not just a hypothetical, yeah, it'd be fun. No, this is, it is. And which means that, you know, obviously there's a lot more engineering that will take you from working prototypes to final products. But when you have working prototypes, you know how much it costs to manufacture. You can start to really put together facts and figures, and you can do a lot more serious engineering. And in a very suddenly, when somebody says 5 years from now we're going to be doing this at scale, and you have a working prototype, that's completely different than a lab scale test where they said, oh yeah, 5-10 years maybe, we'll get that. And what's crazy is DARPA has been pouring money into these kind of technologies like crazy, because they want cars on the battlefield doing this sort of thing. And so there's tons of technology out there that already supports this goal. You got Google coming in on this, and all of a sudden, if you hit this marriage of Lockheed Martin working with Google, funded by DARPA and the federal government, you could have these things in less than 5 years.
So, to be clear, that's not actually a prediction for next year. It's just exciting.
Right. Thank you. That's why we're going to come back to it.
So let's change the mode now. Oh my gosh. To
I don't even know if I can take a pivot this hard, James.
How about this one? Let's drive off the road into a ditch.
Right.
And talk about our friends up north.
Oh man, so many exciting new BlackBerries coming out this year.
Okay. More important question. Will RIM still exist in its current form at the end of the year?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, so
my answer was no.
So RIM will still exist. Their CEOs won't work there anymore.
Wow. I agree with the CEOs, but I think they'll either be subsumed or broken up or something crazy like that.
I think that the investors are going to stick with it just out of blind optimism.
Loyalty.
Especially because it's a major Canadian brand. It would be...
Was a major Canadian.
Well, yeah.
The brand is, but I mean, the value's not there.
Right, anymore. Exactly. But, and because of that, you know, and once again, we don't get too into this sort of governmental stuff, but I do think the large level socialism that's in that country will allow them, even though they don't own RIM, I think that sort of support of, we got to support the home team, we're going to take this one all the way. I don't think they're going to give up on RIM, and I think they'll stick around, but I think they're going to let the CEOs go.
Okay.
They're going to get a new CEO in, they're going to try to revitalize it, and I don't think it's going to work at all. I think they're so far behind. They're still losing momentum. They're not gaining momentum yet, and I don't think they're going to start gaining momentum. Yeah, all things, if they had unlimited, or if they had enough money to just keep on going, didn't matter whether they sold devices or not, they wouldn't turn around their innovation momentum till late 2013, best case scenario. Which means you wouldn't have a compelling product in the market till 2014, and you'd be so far behind by that point that you just wouldn't have any. Yeah, you wouldn't have anything, you know. And since they don't have unlimited money, and it does matter how many devices they're selling, they just, I don't think they're gonna make it, you know.
But they'll still be in there. Still,
I think that this time, a year from now, RIM will still be offering entertainment.
I disagree.
Okay, what do you think is going to happen to them?
I think they'll get bought by somebody.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who?
See,
that's the other question.
Who would want to buy them? I could see Microsoft take a swipe at them, and they finally go for it. I could see them do a major partnership with somebody else.
Yeah.
Like Microsoft. I think they're most likely to work with Microsoft, as crazy as that sounds. I don't know, but I don't think I just don't see it working out for them.
Yeah.
Maybe cutting off the CEOs will be enough, but
I think it'll be enough to revitalize them I think it'll happen mid-year that they'll get fired.
Okay.
And then I think they'll make it through two more financial quarters before.
I guess Yahoo's still around, so yeah. It's always possible. Okay, so you wrote down Intel chips.
Yeah.
What is that?
So I think by the end of this year, I think Intel will be manufacturing chips that were partly designed by another Apple company. That was a terrible cough Apple thing I did there. Or a similar thing.
Like for mobile devices?
Mobile devices.
Well, I know we're actively working on it, so... But you think they'll actually be selling them and manufacturing them?
I think they will be. I think they've discussed the idea of forming a partnership where they didn't say Apple, but they said a major company that designs chips. We're willing to talk about them as long as they use some core Intel technology, but we'll let them design a lot of the rest of it, and then they can use our manufacturing capabilities.
Huh.
And I think that the manufacturing capabilities that Intel has, that is their core competency still. They are first in class by a large margin. It's their chip design that's falling behind. And so if Apple could combine their chip design for a specific platform with the real advanced stuff that Intel's doing in manufacturing of the silicone chips, I think you could have some really powerhouse chips that nobody else could compete against. If for no other reason than nobody else can buy them. But I think that, okay. I would bet that if that relationship's going to take hold, I'm betting it's this year. Unless something major changes, I don't think it'll happen in 2013 if it. I think Apple's going to get too far down the road in their own architectures and their own plans, and if they're not going to start doing something with Intel by that point.
All right. Cool. We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't really have an opinion.
Yeah.
So I think Facebook.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll have a phone?
Jeez. Yes.
Do you think it'll be Android-based, Palm-based now?
I think it'll be their own operating system.
Right, but what do you think the kernel will be?
I think it'll be a Linux kernel, just like iOS.
And Android, I guess.
Right, yeah, right.
They're all based off of Linux, right?
Yeah.
Microsoft.
Yeah, because they all use the AMD chips, which is all, they all use the Linux kernel. Yeah, I think it'll be a Linux kernel. I think it'll be their
it's
own.
It's not AMD, it's... Oh, we were talking about this yesterday.
Yeah. AMD uses the same architecture.
Oh, it's some mobile chip. If we had a chat room, we could just ask. What type of chip is it? I want to say like SMS yet, but I don't remember. ARM,
thank you. The ARM architecture is built into AMD. Thank you.
Oh, that feels so good.
I know. We finally get that one. So yeah, and it's the because they all use the ARM architecture, which is what Linux is built on. And I think Intel or Intel, I think Facebook they're gonna make an iPhone equivalent where it's their own personal branded phone. It's gonna have their own operating system. It might take cues from something like Android or WebOS, but there's, you know, I always come back to, I think they're a technology company. I don't think that they don't view themselves as a social media company. That's one of their products, but their primary competency is technology, and they're going to try to prove that they can do an operating system better than everybody else. And it'll be really deep integration, obviously, with Facebook. And so the whole mentality will be a mobile network hotspot thing. And I just don't think they're going to care. Well, they're going to say, we already have apps. All of your Facebook apps work on your phone. And that's going to be how they compete with applications and stuff, which isn't an awful way to go about it. The only problem is that things like Farmville run on Flash, and I think mobile Flash has proven itself to be an awful idea, and you wouldn't stick with it unless you were RIM.
I actually do not see a phone this year.
Yeah.
For one huge reason.
Okay.
That's because they're going to spend the year going public. And that is going... Making a phone is not easy because they're doing hardware, which is something they've never done before.
I totally forgot about that.
And they are going to spend a lot of time doing the IPO. I mean, there's so much effort and work. They're still going to come out with some cool stuff this year because they're still working on it, but I don't think they have the time to devote to doing a full-fledged phone. Plus, I honestly believe that they keep watching what people, what companies like Amazon do with the Kindle Fire, and they go, ooh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
We literally can't just put a device out there. We need to have content of some sort, which, yeah. I mean, they've got it kind of built in. I still think they're better off to focus on making a killer app for every single device. You know, just making that better and better. I think that's where they're best served, yeah. And making partnerships with Apple and Android and stuff like that.
And I think that they've got a better
Windows phone.
You know, once again, I think Steve Jobs was their biggest problem with Apple. I think they had a little bit of a tiff during the whole what was it called? Ping ordeal, that it was supposed to have Facebook, and Facebook backed out right at the last minute. And I think that's why there's deep integration with Twitter and not Facebook. And I think that now that Steve Jobs is not at the helm, it may not be this year, but they're going to start that path of getting deeper and deeper integration, which is what essentially a Facebook phone would be. And so maybe that is the, maybe that is the goal, you know, is to have their service be everywhere. But I get the feeling that they're really itching to, expand.
I don't know. You can amend that same exact argument with Google, and you know
exactly.
Clearly, they're being successful with their Android phones.
Yeah, so. That's the thing I keep coming back to is I think they're itching to do something more. You know, I keep talking about the Levi Docker relationship where Levi, Docker's made cool pants, these professional pants. No one would buy them because the Levi brand was adolescent, and so they just created a new brand, which is Dockers. They own them. Levi owns them, manufacturing their Levi pants, but their brand is Dockers. And I think Facebook is looking for something to take their core competencies and not necessarily completely separate from the brand, but expand the brand like Google did with Gmail and Google Docs and Android. So I think but like you said, I think the IPO is going to take so much of their time. I wouldn't be surprised if there was nothing huge out of Facebook this year, other than the fact that there's, a million new millionaires because they went public.
Windows 8.
Windows 8. So that's
it. Looks cool, but I hear that, if you follow their trajectory, every other operating system is not received very well.
Yeah.
Windows Vista, no. 7, yes.
Yeah. Well, it was like 98. Yes. ME 2000, no. XP, yes. Vista, no. I mean, it's like they do it on purpose. And, so I'm nervous about about Windows 8. One of the big things that they're going to do is that they have the opportunity to do is as they move away from the Intel-based chips. They're going to go into ARM architecture for the Metro Windows 8 tablets. They're going to have this real opportunity to divorce themselves from the original registry. And they're going to be able to take all of this really cool computer science that we've been doing for the last 3 decades in how that sort of thing should work on an operating system and build a completely new, modern, advanced piece of technology. And because they don't have to worry about it being backwards compatible, they're just going to have freedom to actually make it the way it should work. And there's some very smart people at Microsoft, and I think that they have the potential to do that. There's also some people in charge that may not see it that way, and that may just kind of flop. But I get excited about the potential of Windows 8. But I think the Metro, the full version that runs on Intel's chips, or it's just the Metro 8 on top of Windows 7, I don't think that that's going to have really great reception, because people are going to say, what is this? It's just Windows 7 with this like crazy UI built for tablets. Why would I get this?
Yeah, and I guess the other thing to remember is they're going to sell millions of computers no matter what.
Right.
And people are just going to buy it no matter what.
Right.
And so it's still going to be super successful. I'm not saying, you know, it's going to be a flop, because I think Vista was still their number one selling at the time. Right. People just hated it.
Right.
But, you know, they buy what they buy.
It's dangerous because the rest of the computer market has been falling as Apple's market share has been rising in their PC sales, not just tablets.
Yeah.
You know,
I think we'll see how they end up doing their tablets. It sounds like they're still going to do that, you know, a layer on top.
Well, I think they're gonna have two different types. They're going to have the ARM ones, which will not be the layer. It'll just be Metro. And then they'll have the Intel tablets, which will be both. That's going to be the difference.
Okay.
From what I understand, they might change something and, you know, mess all that up.
Yeah.
But
who knows?
I think it'll be interestingly received.
Yeah, definitely. So, my favorite, HP. There's a good article on GigaOm talking about the 5 things HP must do in 2012. Number 1 was solidify the HP cloud strategy. HP has already started doing some things and, you know, keep going down that track. Sort out its tablet and phone game plan. Yeah, no duh. There won't be anything next year, I can already tell you that. But 2013, that's the year. We'll figure it out. Reaffirm PC commitment. I feel like HP's already done that, but maybe they want something else above and beyond that. I don't know. make autonomy pay off big. Yeah, HP's going to do that somehow. I know on the LaserJet side, it's already figuring out ways to include it. I've got to imagine the PC side, server side, all that.
Yeah.
Definitely. Then the show management accountability. I actually agree with this one. They talk about, you know, Leo and how he was disappointed and it kind of was kind of weird. But then there's clearly Meg Whitman, the CEO. But then there's also Ray Lane, who he's kind of like behind the scenes, but you feel like he's running the show and there's no real accountability for him. And he's kind of weird. He rubs me the wrong way, to be honest, but it's just the way that he talks. He seems kind of cocky to me.
Now, what is Ray Lane's position again?
He is an executive chair board member or something like that. He's on the board, but he has his fingers in the operations, as he describes it. So who knows? HP's stock is at $26 right now, so we'll see if they did those 5 things at the end of the year and get it up. And we'll see. Those are the 5 things. I agree. HP just has to keep ticking along. It really needs to get back and find its identity, who it is, why it is, who it does it for. And Meg Whitman's come out and said, we're a hardware company. Like, great. Tell me more.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that my personal opinion of HP has always been, you know, they've got these core businesses that they make money off of, but one of their their major core competencies that they don't make any money off of is the culture of innovation. And ironically, stuff that doesn't necessarily go into their products directly, but just we're working on cool technology that changes things, and we encourage our employees to come up with bright ideas. And I think that if they were to really continue down that road, that'll be healthy just for the overall, you know, overall health of HP if they do that.
So, felt like this last year was the year for photo sharing stuff and social media and mobile, definitely.
Yeah.
There always seems to be some sort of big trend, and it feels like we are just now getting into the what I would call the interest social networks. So Pinterest is one of them. Quora is another. So Pinterest is like a girl's social network for the photos. Quora is answering questions, that kind of stuff. It's all about interests, not necessarily about people you know, which is, you know, classic Facebook.
And Reddit has made big strides in part compared to Dig, but on a whole, the site has just had unbelievable growth. And that's exactly what it is. So yeah, I agree with you. I think that those kinds of sites are really going to start.
Yeah, they'll keep refining and further segmenting, I believe. I don't know if there's any particular mobile thing. Everyone says mobile video is going to be huge. Sure, that'd be cool.
Yeah, it would be cool.
Both taking and consuming, which I'm a fan of.
Well, mobile.
I'd love to see more video conferencing on phones take place.
The problem with mobile video is that it's really data intensive, and the big throttle on that isn't your device. It's the willingness of the telecoms, the mobile telecoms.
Well, that's why the whole user-generated content part comes in.
What do you mean?
Well, people, like, you know, YouTube.
Well, but I think
people will be making it their own, so you don't have to worry about that part.
Well, but if I'm uploading it to the internet so that my friend across town can download it and watch it, that's still a tremendous amount of data.
Right. But then, okay, maybe I was misunderstood. You were talking about rights and
No. Not at all. I think the limit, I'm saying the limitation on video in general, mobile video in general, not apart from who's making it and who's delivering it, is the choke on the whole operation is the mobile telecoms. AT&T and Verizon.
All right.
And they're the ones that are going to prevent that from taking off. Whereas they can handle pictures, and they can handle likes and dislikes, and they can handle a lot of different data. But video, I think, is, you know,
got it.
That's still a step away.
All right. So on here you have OLED.
Yeah, so I think the last big thing I want to say is I think this is the year for OLED. You're going to start to see, you know, I don't know if it's going to be like plasma where it kind of took off and then petered out, and, you know, because it was flawed and it wasn't as good, but I think this year you're going to see a ton of OLED devices at CES, and you're going to see OLED devices and tablets, and you're going to see them on shelves and
clothes.
Displays. And I don't think clothes, but... Well, maybe. So you'll probably see somebody make clothes. I don't think there'll be any consumer-grade OLED clothes. But I think you might see the beginnings of OLED embedded in glass without any backlighting. So for, like, windows and stuff like that.
That'd be cool.
Glasses? Yeah. Glasses, yeah.
Yes.
I think you'll start to see the beginnings of
windshields.
That sort of stuff, yeah. Perhaps we might just get lucky enough to see some real... solid virtual reality, augmented reality, OLED glass things.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, and I think you might see that as like a really high-end product that'll be, you know, just as a more of a proof of concept of its commercial viability, not necessarily as a commercial gangbuster. But
All right.
So I think that's the future of OLED. I don't know of any other tech breakthroughs.
You keep hoping for battery
stuff. Every year I come, this is the year of the battery. And so I still feel like, okay, and it could be this year, but it might be next year. Every year I feel like, oh, it's this year. I can taste it. We're so close. So hopefully we'll have some more breakthroughs and better batteries and stuff, but there's nothing on the edge of exploding quite yet, unfortunately.
But. All right, so those are our predictions for the next year. Clearly a lot of them. We have a lot of opinions about a lot of things. You know, we'll see. Time will tell. We'll have fun covering them, and we'll definitely make sure to point it out when we are right, and we will conveniently ignore it when we are wrong.
or we'll misremember it. Yes, see, that's basically what
I said. Exactly what I meant. See, I knew it. That's probably more likely. We'll just move on like we're always right. Why not? And so, yeah, any last words as we begin this new year?
You mean this last year?
Sure.
You know, I don't know. It looks like it's going to be a fun one for technology, and hopefully, you know, hopefully Furlough Bros will continue to gather new listeners and grow and become more prominent, and we'll continue to think of new ways to bring awesome ideas to people who want to hear them.
Yeah, exactly. All right, everybody, thank you for joining us. I am James Furlough, and my brother is Matthew Furlough. We'll talk next time.
Holy cow!